On August 23rd, 1987, at about 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning, the three-man crew on a Union Pacific train passing through Saline County, Arkansas, were horrified to see the bodies of two teenage boys on the tracks in front of them with no way to stop the train in time. They blew the horn, they squealed the brakes, but the boys didn't flinch. By all accounts, when the Saline County deputies showed up a few minutes later, on that Sunday morning, August 23rd, 1987, 32 years ago, the Saline County deputies ignored the train employees' insistence and the insistence of the paramedics that the boys must have already been dead when they were placed on the tracks. By all accounts, the deputies refused to consider the possibility that the boys had been murdered and treat the situation as an actual crime scene. Arkansas's longtime chief medical examiner under then-Governor Bill Clinton, Dr. Fahmy Malik, ruled that the boys had smoked so much marijuana that they had passed out on the tracks. A subsequent grand jury convened in Saline County rejected that conclusion and declared that the boys had indeed been murdered before their bodies had been placed on the tracks. A number of people involved in the boys on the tracks case were either murdered within the next year or were eventually imprisoned on unrelated charges years later. According to Mara Leverett's groundbreaking book, The Boys on the Tracks, several state and federal investigations into the events surrounding the deaths of Kevin Ives and Don Henry, two teenage boys apparently stumbled onto something they were not supposed to see. Several state and federal investigations in the next few years were obviously shut down from on high. That brings us to our guests. And let me see if I can figure out how to get them both on at the same time. Linda Ives is the mother of Kevin Ives, one of the boys on the tracks. Jean Duffy, her friend of 30-some years, was a deputy prosecuting attorney and head of the drug task force in Saline County, where Kevin Ives and Don Henry had been murdered. For a time in the years after the boy's death, Jean Duffy was actually in fear for her own life. Linda and Jean, we welcome you both on the program. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Thanks, Doc. Thanks for having us. Hey, Jean.
Hi, Linda. I'm here.
Thank you very much. All right. We got both of you. Thank you so much. Not only is this the 32nd anniversary of what I think is the most mysterious murder mystery in the history of Arkansas, but it is also, you guys are announcing the culmination of months of work on resuscitating and reviving your old website about the boys in the tracks from the late 90s and early 2000s, idfiles.com, and bringing it into the modern era. One of the things I have to ask you guys before we talk about the MENA connection and all this new information, all this new material, new content on idfiles.com, as anyone who's listened to the Doc Washburn Show for a while knows, the last time we did a prolonged conversation about the Boys in the Tracks murder mystery was February 16th, 2018. When I had a gentleman named Billy Jack Haynes, a former professional wrestler, on the program, who had some outrageous and incendiary and amazing claims of having been there on the tracks that evening and named names of who he said was there. And Mr. Haynes was on with me for about an hour and 15 minutes, after which, Linda, you called in and at the time said that the fact that he was willing to potentially risk his life and the fact there's no statute of limitations on murder, you know, gave some credence at the time to his description of the situation. Now, we're a year and a half removed from that interview, and so I want to ask first Linda and then Jean your reflections on the Billy Jack Haynes interview that I did February 16th of last year. Linda, you can go first.
Okay. Doc, here's the thing about Billy Jack to me. He's made some very damning statements about different people. And some of the things we have been able to corroborate.
Okay.
And much of it we have not been able to corroborate.
Okay.
And that's the problem. And also the problem is that Billy Jack is notorious for changing the facts around just a little, which makes them hard to chase down. But, you know, I believe part of what Billy Jack says is true, just based on other accounts that I have heard. But I don't know where that stops and, you know, or anything. I just don't know what to think about this information. You know, I just wish we were able to corroborate it from, you know, separate sources, all of it. At this point, that hasn't been possible.
Right. So as far as you're concerned, he may have been there. He may not have been there. It's just difficult when you look at all the details of his story.
Right. He claimed to have a videotape.
Yeah.
When I first talked with him, the first time I talked with him. But he's never been able to produce that tape. He says it was stolen. So, you know, we just have no proof of anything.
Yeah. Is it your impression that some details of the story might have changed over time with him?
I think some of them have. And when I say over time, from his initial interview back whenever with a fellow by the name of John Rupert, to the time where he spent a lot of time with Keith Roundsville, and that's when the story began to change a little bit. And, you know, my fear is, and this may be litigated at some point, so I can't go into it a whole lot.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, his story seemed to change after being with Keith for some time. You know,
now,
some of the details change and that kind of thing, which led me to believe that he may have been coached.
Now, do I
believe what he says to some point? Yes.
Yeah.
Just don't know where it begins and ends, the truth with him.
Okay, now, in the interest of full disclosure for my listeners, John Rupert was a gentleman from the Little Rock area who has been a private investigator in Southern California for a number of years. Keith Roundsville is the private investigator in Little Rock who, basically anybody who wanted to talk to Billy Jack Haynes had to go through to get that interview. My understanding is that, from speaking to Keith Roundsville, that, when he went looking for Billy Jack Haynes, he went to California first, picked up John Rupert, took him to Portland, Oregon to find the former professional wrestler Billy Jack Haynes, and I guess John Rupert did some of the initial interviews with Billy Jack Haynes several months before I was afforded the opportunity to interview him here on the radio. Just for, you know, for people who didn't know those other two names. Gene Duffy, your thoughts, having listened to the Billy Jack Haynes interview that I did a year and a half ago.
You know, Linda absolutely is entitled to her perspective from a mother's standpoint who only wants to find out the truth.
About what happened to her son, yes, ma'am.
Of course. Who could, you know, fault her for that? But on the other hand, my perspective, not that I'm ever going to get to prosecute anybody, but my perspective is still from that of a prosecutor who would put witnesses on the stand. You put Billy Jack on the stand, what are you going to say? Please tell the story, but leave out the lies, please. You know, because
wow.
It's, and, you know, no jury's going to go along with anything he says, but it's not just that everything that he says has not been corroborated. It's some of the things that he said is absolutely, we know, not to be true. And that's pretty much all I have to say about Billy Jack.
Okay. All right. Okay. We are speaking with Linda Ives, the mother of Kevin Ives, one of the boys on the tracks on the 32nd anniversary of the death of Kevin Ives and Don Henry. And also speaking with Gene Duffy, who was at one point many years ago a deputy prosecuting attorney and head of the drug task force in Saline County. And what we want to get to after this break is talking about a lot of the new content on their revived website, idfiles.com, which had lain dormant for many, many years. And the big centerpiece of idfiles.com is the MENA connection. And if you've been in Arkansas for many years, you can probably imagine what that is all about. But Gene and Linda are going to tell you. And that is coming up as we continue the Doc Washburn Show on Little Rock's home for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 102.9 KARN. All right, it's the 32nd anniversary of the biggest murder mystery in the history of the state of Arkansas, the Boys on the Tracks murder, August 23rd, 1987. We're speaking with Gene Duffy and Linda Ives. Linda is the mother of Kevin Ives, one of the Boys on the Tracks. Gene Duffy is her friend of many, many years and was deputy prosecuting attorney and head of the drug task force in Saline County at one point. They had an award-winning website from the mid-90s into the early 2000s. It never really went offline, but had not been updated for many years, idfiles.com. I linked to it on the Doc Washburn Facebook page, and it has been revamped and resuscitated and revived and resurrected and brought into the year 2019 with a lot of new content about the Boys in the Tracks. Gene, the centerpiece here for the newly revamped idfiles.com is called the MENA connection. And I know from having read Merrill Everett's book, The Boys in the Tracks, several years ago, there were complaints for several years from people in that area of Saline County to the state police and others about low-flying planes late at night on the weekends around those railroad tracks. A lot of people who are from here and have been here many, many years, you say the MENA connection, they know exactly what you're talking about, but other folks don't. And even the folks who are from here might be shocked and surprised at a lot of the content that you've brought out in idfiles.com. What do you want to tell our listeners about the MENA connection, Gene?
Well, when Linda and I started talking, did you refer to me, Doc? I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When we started talking about the MENA connection was early in the 1990s, and people thought we were crazy because back then we were ridiculed, people were saying that MENA was a hoax, there wasn't any such thing going on at MENA, that the so-called drug activity was a myth. To us, though, we had made up our mind that this is the only thing that made sense, even though the connections we made at first were very circumstantial. Couldn't really prove them, but what else could it have been? Years later...
So, in other words, let me just jump in here. The idea that drugs were being moved out of Nicaragua into MENA, Arkansas, and then dropped by planes within 100 or 200 miles of MENA in any direction, and that might have had something to do with the murder of Kevin Ives and Don Henry, the Boys in the Tracks.
Yeah, it's a stretch. I mean, I can understand why people, well, you don't want to believe it to begin with.
Yeah.
And then if you don't have a reason to connect every little bitty dot that might lead somewhere, and why would you, unless you're Linda Ives, then you don't make that connection. So it's been a long time, decades, that we have been thought of as crazy and dismissed. Linda's always been dismissed as a grieving mother who can't make sense of things because of her grief, and me, who was discredited by Dan Harmon and Judge Cole, primarily those two, had felony warrants for my arrest, had a hit contract on my head. I was the crazy lady.
And by the way, Dan Harmon, of course, was the prosecuting attorney for Saline County in the late 80s, early 90s, and eventually went to prison on drug charges himself.
Right, absolutely.
And Judge Cole, from reading the Boys in the Tracks book, had some, interesting and quizzical decisions made in his courtroom surrounding this whole controversy and scandal.
Yeah, well, Judge Koh impaneled a grand jury investigation, and of course Harmon was the prosecutor, and he did that against me as well. He impaneled a grand jury investigation against me with Harmon as the prosecutor. In my case, I guess I'm the only case that Harmon went after someone specifically, but could not get an indictment because I hadn't done anything wrong.
Right.
There was just, it was a smear campaign, but there was, you know, nothing that would hold water. So the grand jury absolutely refused to give him an indictment against me. But John Brummett of the Arkansas Times wrote Out of Control in Saline County back in July of 1991. And one of the highlighted quotes from that article is that federal sources point out that Judge Koh is always appointing Harmon to head grand jurors and that the juries never get to the bottom of anything. And that was the plan. That's the reason that grand jury investigation was impaneled and Harmon was put in front of it. Not only that it didn't get to the bottom of anything, the jurors were frustrated and witnesses turned up dead. And so
wow.
That's part of the circumstantial evidence, of course, of which there's a lot. And in fact, every little turn in this whole scenario of it was tied to Mina is a story in itself. The drops that the residents around the tracks were witnessing were reported, but nobody did a follow-up. They didn't even, you know, pretend to be interested. And then when the boys were killed in that same area, still no one talked about the possible connection. There was speculation, of course. And I had an investigator with my drug task force, young and very smart. He really doesn't want to be identified, but he started talking to these witnesses and he took them seriously. And he took that information with an aerial map to Bob Govar. Well, I had made an appointment for us to go to Bob Govar, who
okay.
was leading the federal grand jury.
We're going to have to run to a bottom of the hour hard break, but we're going to find
okay.
out who Bob Govar is after
okay.
that. And we're going to find out maybe if the Tom Cruise movie American Made has anything to do with this. More coming up. It is the 32nd anniversary of the most mysterious murder mystery, I think, in the history of Arkansas. The boys on the tracks who were killed August 23rd, 1987. And there was one cover-up after another. That's not my opinion. You can read the Boys on the Tracks book, excellent book by Mara Leverett, and it's obvious. And a number of people who apparently knew too much were murdered in the next couple of years after the Boys in the Tracks murder mystery. We are talking with Gene Duffy, talking about your website, which has been revived after all these years, idfiles.com. And the centerpiece of the new content is the Mina connection, something that was alluded to in Tom Cruise's movie, which came out 2 years ago in August of 2017, he didn't talk about, there was no mention of the Boys in the Tracks, but there was a lot of mention of smuggling drugs from Central America to Mina, Arkansas. That was basically what the movie was about. Before we had to go to our bottom of the hour break, Gene, you had mentioned, and again, for people just tuning in, Gene Duffy was deputy prosecuting attorney and head of the drug task force in Saline County many, many years ago. Gene, you had mentioned uncovering some information about a Mina connection to the Boys in the Tracks, the idea that perhaps the boys had stumbled on some kind of a drop from an airplane out of Mina, Arkansas, and you were taking this information years ago to a fellow named Bob Govar. Now, who was he?
Well, Bob Govar was the assistant U.S. attorney in Little Rock, and he was heading a federal grand jury investigation of drug trafficking and public official corruption, primarily in Saline County. And he asked me when I became head of the drug task force if I would funnel any information to him.
And this is the early 90s.
This was the early 90s.
And we got Linda Ives back, too, so that's good.
Okay, good. And I need her to take over in a minute, but I want to kind of correct you. We did not go to anybody at that point making the connection of the boys' murders to Mina.
Okay.
That came later.
Right.
We had suspicions about the drug drops being part of Mina, but it wasn't a revelation. It was an accumulation of circumstantial evidence and some very, I think, very direct evidence. And one of the clues was that my investigator and I went to Govar because my little task force couldn't handle an investigation of drug drops, and especially if they were involved, from the airplanes, especially if they were involved in, you know, two murders. So we took Bob Govar that information, or I made an appointment to take him the information, but and I had visited him a dozen times and had always gone, you know, pretty much straight to his office. But this time, my investigator and I were shuffled into U.S. Attorney Chuck Banks' office. He's the head guy.
Yeah.
And he was very
interested. At the time, the early 90s.
At the time, right. And, of course, he was interested in hearing my investigator's aerial map that he had and how he explained the direction of the plane coming in and where, you know, the drops landed, which is in the vicinity of the boys' murders.
Right.
Which, by the way, his description, the descriptions that the residents gave corroborated exactly what the description of a pilot that I talked to later, maybe 2 years later, that described how he flew in from the air. He says he came in from Waco. Now, I don't understand the logistics of drugs coming.
What does Waco have to do with Mina?
Exactly. I don't know. Other than the pilot said that he picked the drugs up from Mina, from Waco, and flew them into the tracks, and he came from the, you know, southwest, so, you know, that would add up. He corroborated what the resident said happened, and I visited with him, and he never revealed his real name and really couldn't come up with any concrete evidence that he was a contract pilot for the CIA, but that's what he said he was.
Yeah.
And he claimed that these drugs he picked up in Waco came from Mina. That's not been verified. It's only, you know, part of the clues that we put together.
Okay, so what on idfiles.com, your newly resurrected website about Mina, has been verified?
Well, not that the American Made with Tom Cruise is factual by any stretch of the imagination. It's
Thought they might have taken some liberties with that, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty highly fictionalized, but they got the main facts right, and they do put the responsibility of the Mina drug smuggling operation in the laps of President Reagan, Vice President Bush, and then Governor Clinton. They got that part right. That's not anything I verified, but that has been verified by some really good research.
Well, books have been written, people like Terry Reed.
Right. Well, Terry Reed, Roger Morris, Sally Denton. It's verifiable. It's not deniable anymore. And the little part that I want to get to right quickly is that eventually Chuck Banks,
then the U.S.
And I was
attorney.
Then U.S. attorney. And I was told this ahead of time by a reporter for the Arkansas, it was then the Arkansas Gazette. His name is Chris Day. When I was in hiding for a while, he called me and said that Chuck Banks is going to hold a press conference and shut down the investigation of Bob Govar about all the corruption in Saline County. And
including the boys in the tracks.
Including the boys on the tracks, and in return, he is going to get a federal judgeship nomination
Oh my.
from from President George H.W. Bush. And I didn't believe him. I said, you know, Chris, that's just ridiculous. But he said that was going to happen. And you know what? That's what happened. Now, what would a sitting U.S. president have to do or care about shutting down an investigation of a bunch of dirty county official thugs?
Yeah.
I mean, how did that happen? So that's when you start thinking, okay, we got to think much higher than just a little, you know, drugs being flown back and forth from somewhere.
And indeed, Mara Leverett's book, The Boys in the Tracks, I think made the case over and over again that there were a number of investigations that clearly were shut down from on high. We're speaking with Linda Ives, mother of Kevin Ives, one of the boys in the tracks, 1987, and her friend of many years, Jean Duffy, former deputy prosecuting attorney and head of the drug task force in Saline County, where Kevin and Don were murdered back in 1987, about their newly revived website, idfiles.com, with all kinds of information about the boys in the tracks and Mina. 32nd anniversary of the biggest murder mystery in the history of the natural state, the boys in the tracks, Kevin Ives and Don Henry, who were murdered August 23rd, 1987, despite what the authorities said at the start, which was that, well, gee, they must have smoked too much marijuana and fell asleep and the train couldn't wake them up. We all knew that was ridiculous. We are speaking with Gene Duffy, who was the deputy prosecuting attorney and head of the drug task force in Saline County way back in the day. Also speaking with Linda Ives, mother of Kevin Ives, one of the two murdered boys. Linda, Gene and I have been remiss in our duty. Every once in a while, we'll say something like, well, you know, we're going to have to get Linda in here. And so I was just concerned, Linda, that we don't want my listeners to think that you are Gene's and my imaginary friend. You know, you got this website that you've revived, you and Gene have revived after all these years, idfiles.com, with a lot of brand new information on it and a lot of content about Mina and the concern that maybe a drug running out of Mina might have had something to do with the murder of your son and his friend. But there's a lot more about Mina on idfiles.com than just specifically about the boys' murders. What would you want my listeners to know about the whole Mina situation and the content on your website, idfiles.com?
I didn't want Mina to be connected, to tell you the truth. The first time I heard it, I was skeptical. I was everything but a believer at that point in time. But, you know, when this all first happened, you know, I thought we had a couple of dirty cops locally.
Yeah.
And we thought that's as far as it went. And, you know, we thought that if we laid everything out there, it wouldn't be long till, you know, the case would be solved.
Because clearly the deputies that first showed up at the scene where the train ran over the boys refused to listen to the guys in the train and refused to listen to the paramedics. So you thought that might have been as far as the scandal went.
That's correct. And so, you know, that was our focus, was locally and on local cops at that point in time that responded to the scene and did things that we knew weren't right. And we thought that that was probably the whole problem in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Didn't take long to figure out that wasn't the case. Became apparent that they were lying, they were covering up. And so the next level was the state police.
Yeah.
Same thing happened there. After I got hold of the file, which cost me over $500, you know, and we began going through and talking to the witnesses. And at that point in time, Gene and I had met, and we kind of teamed up, and, you know, we started calling the witnesses that were in that report and talking to them directly, and the stories they told were not what was listed in the report. And, you know, they told us that what the state police file was not what they told them. And so it became clear after a while that the state police report and investigation was a sham. Next level up was FBI, same thing there. And so I'm sitting there saying, what made Kevin and Don so important? You know, they were nobodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, but something had made them important, you know, for federal and state investigators to cover up for local dirty cops. And so that's kind of where it began, our search for what made Kevin and Don important. And then when the MENA connection was made, and I made it in my mind when an audio tape surfaced from an inmate who supposedly was a CIA operative, gave investigators an audio tape saying that the murders were connected to MENA. And, you know, again, I was so skeptical, and I didn't even want it to be true, to tell you the truth, because I knew it meant that things were just that much harder for us to unravel. And but, you know, it became clear that Kevin and Don were important, and the only thing that makes sense in the shutdown investigations, the things that have gone on in the U.S. Attorney's Office, which goes from everything to quashing subpoenas to covering up evidence, in my opinion. So, you know, I don't know. It just is the only thing that has ever made sense. And, you know, the thing about the website, Doc, that, you know, I'm most excited about, and I hope the listeners will be too, is that all of the documents I've collected over the last 32 years are going to be available on the website. All of the FBI documents, all of the state police documents, newspaper articles from the very beginning. Everything that I have related to the case, we want made available to the public.
All right. We're speaking with Linda Ives, mother of Kevin Ives, one of the boys in the tracks. Linda, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. A couple of names that keep on coming up, Arkansas State Police Investigator Russell Welch and IRS Investigator Bill Duncan, when it comes to the MENA connection. What can you tell us about them?
Well, of course, they were the investigators in the original MENA investigation. And the U.S. attorney in that district at that time.
Before the boy's death, several years before the boy's death. But anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead. The U.S. attorney.
I'm sorry.
No,
I didn't
ahead.
Connect there with where we were going. But
yeah, the U.S. attorney.
They were investigators on MENA and had been shut down. And one of the persons that shut their investigations down was Asa Hutchinson, our governor now. He was U.S. prosecutor in the Western Division District of Arkansas, and he shut him down cold. And so now he's our governor. He was made head of Homeland Security and DEA, and now he's appointing Kirk Lane, who is a prime suspect in the murders, as our state drug czar. So it's very frustrating, very maddening. To me, to see how these people who are supposedly connected to the case in various ways are promoted, protected, and walking the streets today.
Now, Kirk Lane was the police chief of Benton for, I think, 8 years. And earlier on, back during the time of the Boys in the Tracks, I guess, was a Pulaski County detective or undercover drug cop or something like that.
That's correct. He was placed on the scene that night by several witnesses. And the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has a lot to say about him as being a suspect. And the entire Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling over a lawsuit that he filed for defamation is available on the website. And they make him look guiltier than I ever could have, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
It's a 26-page opinion, which is itself out of the ordinary.
From about 20 years ago. I wish we had more time, but we are out of it. Linda Ives and Gene Duffy, thank you both so much for coming on the program. Once again, the 32nd anniversary of the Boys in the Tracks. Linda, our prayer is that you will find the complete truth and get justice. The website with all this information is idfiles.com. I link to it on my Doc Washburn Facebook page. Linda and Gene, God bless you and Godspeed. Thank you so much.